This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast, right here on CBS Sports Radio. And it's my pleasure right now to head out to the guest line, welcome in the 1997 Heisman Trophy winner. 1998, he was the fourth overall pick to the Raiders, did win a Super Bowl with the Green Bay Packers, and can now call himself, to no surprise, a Pro Football Hall of Famer. And that, of course, is Charles Woodson, who's here today on behalf of his own wine company, Charles Woodson's Intercept. Charles, congratulations. Thanks for the time. How you been?
I've been doing well, man. Thanks for asking.
No problem. Well, we appreciate you coming on. So I was real curious this year, right around the Super Bowl, how they were going to announce the Pro Football Hall of Fame class. I guess a few weeks earlier, you had David Baker give you a pretty nice surprise. Take me through that whole process.
Yeah, pretty cool scene, man. You know, they set me up with a faux interview, you know, talking about the championship game, you know, between the Packers and Tampa Bay. And so they came to the house, man, and set everything up in my backyard, you know, kind of following COVID protocol. So nothing really seemed out of the ordinary. And I'm sitting there, you know, answering questions, talking about, you know, when I played in, you know, Super Bowls and championship games and Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers, you know, Tom Brady, the whole nine. And the next thing you know, I kind of hear some rustling in the background and turn around, and there's the man. You know, there's David Baker, you know, in my backyard. And, you know, there's no question. If you just happen to see David Baker out of the blue, and you've been out of the league for 5 years, you kind of know what it means. And if he shows up in your house, you know what that means, that he's coming to tell you, man, that you've made it into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So, incredible moment, you know, to share that with my wife, my two kids. My mom was here, which my wife and my mom were kind of in on it. So they, you know, they kept that from me, but it was a pretty cool moment, man, because, you know, it was, you know, an unexpected moment in terms of, you know, just being a surprise. And, you know, they caught me and, you know, they got the emotions out of me, man. So I got to tell you, it was a surreal moment. And, one of those moments that you don't let go of, you know, soon.
Now, did it became public knowledge for a few weeks? How'd you keep it a secret?
Yeah, man, you know, of course, you know, there's some trusted people that I had to tell, you know, people that are close to me. So I would say that more importantly, it was the people, you know, that I'm close to, that kept it close to the vest, you know, which is pretty impressive when you think about it. You know, the guys that went in, you know, I'm sure they had people that they told in their inner circle, and all of our inner circles did a great job, man, of just keeping it, you know, under their hat. Until we, you know, got to the point in time to where it was announced to the world. So, you know, give my respect, you know, to all of the other guys and their friends, and then of course respect to my friends and family, man, who said, you know what, we won't say a word. So, kudos to all of the people that we trust around us.
The Pro Football Hall of Famer Charles Woodson here with us. It's no surprise, like I said, that you're going to the Hall, but when you were playing, was there a moment in your career where you started to think about the Hall of Fame, or was it not until after you decided to walk away from the game?
I think more so after the game. Of course, you know, when you're playing, you know, you always, you know, get the question, hey, you know, you think you make it to the Hall, or, you know, Charles is a Hall of Famer, and those sort of things. So, you know, there's always, you know, conversations swirling around it. But I think once you retire and, you know, that clock starts ticking, you know, I always tell people that every time I see, you know, I would see Warren Sapp over the years. He would always, you know, just bring it up. Hey, man, the clock's ticking. How many more years you got? How long you been out? You know, I'll tell him how many years I've been out. He'd be like, all right, man, I'll see you in a couple of years. You know, so, you know, you kind of start thinking about it when your playing days are over, you know, as that clock really starts winding down. So of course, it's more so after you're done playing.
It's so impressive to just have the success that you had, Charles Woodson, in just simply your time at Michigan, to then also have the success in the NFL. It's kind of surreal, and it always makes someone wonder, why did you never get complacent? Because we see a lot of guys win the Heisman Trophy and then unfortunately don't go on to have great NFL careers like you were able to do.
Well, I wanted to be great. I mean, I think that's probably what maybe separates a lot of guys from other guys. And I know that, you know, that sounds maybe a little like that's the easy or something, but that's kind of the way I looked at it. I think the guys that make it, you know, this far, they came into this league understanding that they wanted to be great, and they worked at it. And, you know, each and every one of us, you know, has a story of how we got here. But the common denominator is hard work and going out there and making plays, you know. So I always knew, man, that, you know, I was good at the game of football, but there was always, you know, different milestones that I knew that during the course of my career I had to achieve, you know, whether it was winning a championship in college or coming out and being the best rookie. You know, I always, you know, had things that I wanted to achieve. And as you begin to compile those things over the course of a long career, that's when you get that's when the conversation, you know, starts up about you being a Hall of Famer. So I was able to reach a lot of milestones, man, and do a lot of things in the game of football. And that's why I can say I'm a Pro Football Hall of Famer.
I don't know if you've announced it yet or if you've even decided. Have you thought about and made that decision on who's going to present you at the ceremony?
Yeah, you know, I have a couple of people in mind. It's kind of narrowed down. You know, I'm just not going to reveal that quite yet. But, oh, yeah, I have that. You know, it's pretty much a done deal. So, yeah, people know in due time.
Well, let me take you back to when you won the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, you broke your collarbone in that game, but the legend tells it that you delivered a pretty awesome speech at halftime. Take me to the scene inside the locker room in Dallas when you're going up against the Steelers and you address the team at halftime with the Packers.
Yeah, and you know, it, of course, the story is that it was a, you know, great speech or whatnot, but it really wasn't that. You know, I was pretty devastated that I couldn't go out there and continue in the second half of the game. You know, the coach called everybody up, you know, before they were to run out after halftime. And, you know, I had come out of the bathroom because I was in one of the stalls, man, just kind of hurt and broke down. And when I got, you know, to the circle, as coach gathered everybody up, you know, as he began to speak, I just said, you know, coach, let me say a few words to the team. He's like, man, come on, Charles. And, you know, I just basically, you know, what I could get out was, hey, man, you guys know what, you know, this game means to me, you know, as far as, you know, being a champion. You know, I need this Super Bowl. And I just told him, hey, go out there and get it done. And then, you know, the tears continued to roll down my face because I knew I couldn't continue on with the guys. And basically that was it. And, you know, I just think, you know, the guys, man, you know, the respect that we all have for each other, you know, and the respect that they have for me, man, they saw my face, you know, saw me broken down, man. And I think that inspired some guys, man. And they said, hey, man, you know, we're going to go out here and get this thing done. And that's exactly what they did. They went out there and got it done. And, you know, because our team was able to pull together, not only that game, but that entire season, we went through a myriad of injuries that season. I think we had like 16 guys that went on IR throughout the course of that season. But we still found a way to get it done, and they did the same thing in the Super Bowl.
What do you recall post-game in the celebration and then the after party a few hours later that night?
Well, you know, I stayed out on the field, man, for quite a while, you know, and did a ton of interviews. You know, I had my family out there, you know, my wife, my kids, my mom, cousins, brother, and everything, and you know, we just kind of took it in, man. You know, one thing I always wanted to do was just be out there with the confetti. So I stayed out there for a while, man. You know, my son, you know, got to roll around in the confetti. You know, I was pretty banged up, so I couldn't, you know, roll around in the confetti like I wanted to. But, you know, I was out there, you know, in the confetti, and I just, you know, tried to soak it all in. You know, I was able to hold the Lombardi Trophy and kind of, you know, do a little walk to the crowd after that. And then when I got back to the locker room, yeah, most everybody was gone for the most part. And so I sat in the locker room and trying to get out of my clothes. You know, my shoulder was, like I said, it was, you know, collarbone was broken. And so I sat there and struggled for a long time, you know, just trying to get out of my clothes and put on, you know, what I had worn to the game. You know, I remember seeing, you know, Peter King in there, and we talked for, you know, a good little while, you know, as he sat there and watched me struggle trying to, you know, get my clothes on and off. So that was kind of it. Then the after party was, you know, we went back to the hotel and, you know, just sat down, man, and just really just reflected, man. I think Kid Rock performed with the after party, and, you know, we kind of just sat at the table, me and my family. I wasn't moving around too much because I was in pain, but just enjoyed the moment, man. You know, I was a Super Bowl champion, and I was happy and proud at that moment.
Pro Football Hall of Famer Charles Woodson here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. You know how tough it is to win a Super Bowl in this league, but if we were to have a conversation that night when you guys were able to take down the Steelers and win it all about Aaron Rodgers, probably we would have thought by now he would have won another ring. Is it surprising to you that he has not had another Super Bowl championship added to his resume?
Yeah, man. And, I think they were, you know, a part of one of the flukiest games, you know, against Seattle. I think in 2014, where they were up, you know, 16 points or something or whatever it was, and all of a sudden, you know, fake field goal and, you know, last second throws and all of these crazy things, onside kick, you know, Seattle ended up getting. So fluky game, man. I really felt like that was probably, you know, his best chance since then, you know, to go back and win another championship. So, you know, I think, you know, as you watch this guy and as well as he's played over the years, I think you would have assumed that since 2010 he would have another one. But listen, man, that's kind of the way the game goes. You know, when you get to a Super Bowl, you're never guaranteed that you're going to get back. You know, I went in 2002 and didn't go back again until, 2010 and 11 season. So it's hard to get there. You know, I know Brady's won 7, so it makes it seem like it's pretty easy to do. But most guys don't go back to the Super Bowl, man, and win another one. So NFL is tough, man. And each year, you know, you might think you have the team, but somebody else just has a little bit better team.
Rodgers now 37, and we don't know how much longer he'll be playing in Green Bay. Do you think he'll win another Super Bowl in this league?
Yeah, well, I think he's definitely, as a player, you know, he's still got a lot left in the tank to get a team there. But then it's all about, you know, what you have around you, you know, and your supporting cast, man. And, you know, you look at the game against Tampa, and, you know, they played, you know, for the most part, Aaron played a pretty good game. But then there's a play here and a play there that kind of just, you know, tanks you a little bit, takes the wind out of yourself. You know, you think about the touchdown right before halftime, or think about the fumble early in the second half, I think, with Aaron Jones. And those are just a couple of, you know, big plays, man, that kind of take the wind out of your sail. And even with that said, you know, they still had an opportunity to win. But like I say, this is a tough league, and you may have a good team, but on any given Sunday, somebody can play a little bit better, and that's that.
Yeah, they had the ball twice down 5 and had the 2-3 and outs, and then we all know what happened when they were down 8. They elected to settle for the field goal and give the ball back to Tom Brady, which I did not think was an intelligent decision. What did you make of that call by Matt LaFleur?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm Monday morning quarterback, you know, just like everybody else. And as I'm watching that game, I'm thinking to myself, man, you're pretty close to the end zone. I think they were within the 5 yards at least. I think you gotta give, you know, A-Rod at that point, I think you gotta give him all 4 downs, and you gotta believe that he can punch it in. Because kicking the field goal, you know, once Tampa got the ball back, there's no guarantee that they're gonna be able to stop him. And we saw what happened; they weren't able to stop him. So I would have given A-Rod the opportunity of all 4 downs at that juncture.
Charles Woodson, you know this league's a business, and you know that there's always some interesting and unpopular decisions that are made. The Packers last year traded up to go get Jordan Love, and Rodgers has 3 years left on his deal. Everyone's wondering what's going to happen with the future of Aaron Rodgers. Do you think Rodgers will end his career in Green Bay, or do you kind of get the sense, like a lot of other people, that will end his great career somewhere else?
Yeah, I think if he plays long enough, I think he ends his career somewhere else. And, you know, that's not an anomaly. I mean, you think about over the years, you know, the great players that have played, you know, most of their career in one place and then going on to play somewhere else. You know, Emmitt Smith, Jerry Rice, Joe Montana, Peyton Manning, you know, myself. I left twice, you know. So there's in this league, man, you're just playing as long as you can and just winning as many games as you can. And at some point, though, you know, the team is going to start looking to the future. And I know that, you know, the Packers, of course, are going to say, oh, you know, we're going to take the best player available. And, you know, this wasn't about looking to the future. Well, it is looking to the future. So I know that A-Rod, you know, had to be thinking, you know, bring me somebody in here that's going to help me immediately, you know, not somebody that has to sit behind me for the next, you know, 2 or 3 years or whatever it is. So I think he ends up ending his career in another place.
Do you think he'll see the remaining 3 years, or will they move on before the contract does run out to try to trade him and get something back for him?
You know, I think it's one of those situations where, you know, there's all this, you know, this talk, you know, swirling around him and Green Bay. And, you know, I think it could be one of those situations where it gets nasty at some point somehow in a back and forth between, you know, the Packers and Aaron's agents and then, you know, before you know it, somehow the thing gets blown up. So, I mean, I certainly hope that doesn't happen. But, you know, just, where there's smoke, there's fire. You know what I mean? So this could be a situation where before you know it, you know, somebody makes a play or makes some kind of offer, you know, for Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay can't refuse and say, you know what, hey, you know what, we'll go our separate ways. He wants to be somewhere else. And you know what, we'll go on with the future of the team.
Charles, earlier in the chat, you were talking about Tom Brady. I want to take you back to when you were at Michigan and you were a teammate of TB12. Now, at the time, no one could have predicted what Brady would have gone on to do in the NFL. How do you look back at your time, though, in Ann Arbor at Michigan with Tom Brady? What do you recall from your time with him?
Yeah, man, just, you know, two young kids, man, coming in, you know, with your aspirations of being great college football players and hoping to go on and play in the NFL. And, you know, both of us were able to do that. You know, my career was much different than his in college. I kind of came in and, you know, hit it right from the start. He had to wait at least 4 years, you know, before he really, you know, got a chance to play. You know, and then even when they did get the chance to play, they had them, you know, splitting time with another quarterback. But, yeah, just, you know, two young kids, man, with high aspirations, man. And, you know, we were both, you know, able to have a great deal of success on both levels. And it's amazing. You know, he's still out there slinging it around, man. So kudos to him.
Did it surprise you what he was able to do this year? I know he's 43 and he's the greatest of all time, but at one point they were 7-5. A lot of people, they get to this dance every year where they just write Brady off. Did anything surprise you about this season, him going to a new team, a little bit of a sloppy start, and then finding a way to walk away with the hardware?
No, not at all, man. I mean, honestly, when you look at their team is actually pretty stacked up.
Yeah.
They just needed somebody at the helm that wasn't going to throw the ball to the other team 30-plus times a game. And then I also think you bring in a guy, man, where 100% of the people on that team and in that organization have respect for him. And I think they rallied around the fact, you know, that they had a 6-time, you know, Super Bowl winning quarterback, a guy that knows how to win. And I think they studied him and watched him on a daily basis of how he moved, how he acted, how he practiced. And I think just that little bit was able to rub off on an already good team. I mean, but if you look at what they have team-wise as far as the weapons on the outside, the defensive line, you know, the Pierre Pauls, the Sues, the Barretts, White, and just the, you know, the speed that they have on that front seven on defense. This was a good football team, you know, before he got there. So I'm not at all surprised that, once they played amongst each other and they gelled, that if they hit their stride, there wasn't going to be no stopping them. And you watched them in that Super Bowl. You know, they took their lesson, their butt kicking from the first game against Kansas City. They made really an adjustment as far as coverage on the defensive side of the ball instead of trying to man up Kansas City. And that was all the difference in the world. And they just let those guys up front pin their ears back and go get the quarterback, disrupt Mahomes. And that's exactly what happened. And that was your ball game.
Let me ask you about two of your former head coaches, John Gruden, now back with the Raiders, getting ready for his fourth season, and Mike McCarthy, you were able to win a Super Bowl with the Packers, now going to his second year in Dallas. How about where your confidence and belief level is with John and also Mike?
Yeah, I mean, I got confidence in both of them, really. I just think that, you know, in this game, you know, it's a, you know, it's a quick, you know, gratification, you know, type of game, if you will. You know, if people don't get what they want right now, then they're ready to move on. But I think Mark Davis brought John Gruden in with the idea that he was going to give him time to build that team. And I think he's only, you know, 3 or 4 years in. They've made some, you know, progress on the team. I know that, you know, everyone, you know, all of, you know, Raider Nation and all the Raider fans are getting antsy because they, you know, they believe that they should be, you know, somewhere higher or, you know, better ranked than where they are or making the playoffs. But I think that he's going to have the time. I think Mark's going to give him the time to do it. And so they're going to have some hits and some misses. But I do believe that Gruden is a good coach. He's got a good quarterback on his team. You know, they got to make sure that they put together a top-notch defense that can go out there and hold up during the course of games. And so I got high hopes for him. I think as far as Coach McCarthy is concerned, he's kind of, I mean, you know, to me, when you look at his team, the defense, of course, I don't think has played up to par.
They can use you still on defense, Charles.
Yeah, I could probably still go out there and give him some work. I'm sure of it. But I ain't going back out there. But, yeah, I think offensively, man,
they got,
you know,
the pieces.
You get your quarterback back, you know, and Dak Prescott. But when you look at what they have offensively, they have studs, man. So there's no reason, you know, that they won't be in ball games. But they will have to shore up the defense, make sure they can get pressure on that side of the ball. And then their secondary, of course, has to step up and make big plays. But they definitely, I think they're two coaches that can definitely get it done. But then I think it becomes, you know, decision-making as far as, you know, what guys you bring in onto those teams.
I'm starting to become a wine connoisseur, and I know that you are as well. Tell me about Charles Woodson's intercept.
Yeah, Intercept Wines, man, we started just a little over a year and a half ago. You know, we get our grapes out of Paso Robles out in California. I have four varietals. We do a Chardonnay, a Pinot, Red Blend, and also a Cabernet. So, you know, right now, man, we have, you know, we've gained, you know, national distribution. So we're all over this country, you know, and probably in a store near you, and people who want to be able to find it. If you go on to CWInterceptWines.com, you can put in your zip code in our locator, and you can find out places that are near you that carry Intercept, or you can order online. So very proud of Intercept Wines, and then also Woodson Bourbon Whiskey. So if you go on to WoodsonWhiskey.com, you can see what we're doing as far as our whiskey is concerned, too. So very happy about where we are right now in those two endeavors, and having a lot of fun with it.
Last thing I'll ask you, I just want to take you back to the night you won the Heisman. You were a finalist, obviously, with Peyton Manning, Ryan Leaf, and Randy Moss. What's the everlasting image from that night when your name was called to win the Heisman Trophy?
Yeah, I think for me, man, I think it was me hearing my name and my man Randy Moss sitting on my right side, man, you know, just nudging me with his elbow, you know, urging me to get up, you know, because I heard my name, man. But it was, I think it was really a shocker to everyone that they, you know, announced my name and not Peyton Manning's name. So I think that's probably always the moment and the image that I'll have in my mind is Rudy Risker saying from Michigan, Charles Woodson, and then Randy hit me with the elbow, like, man, get up, you know. So that was another incredible moment, man, one that I'll never forget. So very happy and proud about that as well.
Well, thankfully, Randy didn't say, come on, man, when they called your name, right?
Come on, man. No doubt.
Well, Charles, congratulations once again. We really appreciate you doing this. Thanks so much. You and the family, be well.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.